Well, before you start, I'm going to say the set aside prayer. God, I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Help me to carry the message tonight. Amen. Okay. For those who are new, we have three meetings. Saturday at 9:15. This Saturday, we are on step 11. We're going to look at what we do during the day, page 86. We're in the big book for our 11th year. We'll finish in about 7 or 8 weeks. And we've done 11 years of three meetings a week. On Sunday night, we're in There is a Solution, so we're different parts of the book, and we covered page 17 and 18, and we're going to look at what's wrong with our bodies and our minds, and then where we got the solution from. So if you can come Sunday night at 7:30. And we have the website, experiencethebigbook.org. I have 77 thoughts. We have 302 podcasts, and you can find the whole book and all the steps. It's indexed. Tonight we are finishing resentment inventory on step 4. That's where we're on at the book. I'm only going to cover one paragraph, but I'm going to put the paragraph in perspective. I'm going to review the resentment inventory, if that's okay. And resentment inventory starts on page 64. And we inventory three things in the fourth step. The fourth step seems very complicated to new people. Treatment centers have all these handouts. You can find worksheets on the internet. I just follow the big book. It's very simple. It's so simple that people want to make it complicated. The big book tells us on page 64 that we're at step 4. It spends a whole paragraph telling us what it is. We're taking stock and trade of our lives. We're going to look at what in my mind caused me to go broke. We're going to look at the damaged goods to discover the truth, so I'll let go of them. Any business who doesn't do this goes broke. Target's planning Christmas. They're not going to stock up the shelves with everything that didn't sell last year. And they're going to get the goods that are going to sell. Now, as alcoholics, we've prized the things that didn't sell, and we've held on to them. And now we look in the fourth step at the stuff in our minds that's cluttered us, because everybody here wants God to direct their life, don't they? God can't direct my life if it's full of resentment, fear, and shame and guilt from my harms. And then it says we're going to take stock honestly of my life, and we review three things in the fourth step that are the manifestations of self. What that means is when you live a life that's self-centered, how does it appear? It appears you're angry all the time, you're afraid all the time, and you've left a wreckage of relationships and harmed others. And the first thing we're going to inventory is resentment. It says resentment's the number one offender. What does it offend? It offends my relationship with my Creator. Now, in step 3, I made a decision that God was going to be my director. Anybody do that? Anybody do it this morning? And if God's going to be my director, then I can't hold on to the things that are blocking me from God. And a resentment, they say, destroys us. Now, if you're interested, I just covered these things in the last three podcasts that are on the site if you want to listen to them in detail. I talked about what the spiritual disease is. We're at dis-ease with the spirit. I'm dis-ease with God. I have no relationship with my Creator. I'm running life on self. And when I do that, then resentment comes into play and it separates me from God. Unless I straighten out my spiritual malady, which is the malady of living a life of self-will, nothing will change. And when I straighten my relationship with God and I allow Him to direct me, then my mind will be free of the manifestations of self, and then I won't have to drink, and then the physical problem, the allergy of the body won't come into play. Does this make sense? And so, and then also, if I overcome the spiritual malady, then my thinking will change, it'll be God-directed, and my physical relationship with the world will change, because I'll be willing to make amends to everybody, and I won't be in conflict with everybody and everything. So then the fourth step is very simple. On the bottom of 64, it says resentments, and resentment is anything that's bothered you in your life where you were angry. And it could be people, institutions, or principles. And it says with whom we were angry. Doesn't mean you may, I hear a lot of people say they don't have any resentments. They've gotten over everything. Well, I don't know if that's true or not for them, but my experience is once you start to work with them, the resentments come flying out. They come flying out on the paper. Because we can't really see our anger because we're swimming in it. And we're living in our anger. And so we don't see it. It says with whom you were angry. So if you have trouble figuring that out, think of anybody you had a relationship with, all your relatives, anybody you ever worked with, anybody you went to school with. See if you don't come up with some names. And you'll see how people bothered you a lot, some people a lot. And so the first column is who you were angry with. People, institutions, it could be the IRS, police force, principals. Some people don't like the Ten Commandments. Some people don't like paying alimony. They don't think that's a good principle. That was supposed to be funny. People don't like the police force. And so the second column is why you were angry. So you're supposed to write down why you were angry at these people. Don't spend much time on it. It's not important. Because you're going to, when you do the resentment inventory, you're going to see how a lot of times it wasn't true. And so that's pretty simple. You get a sheet of paper, you put a line down, you put one, two, three names, the names, why you were angry. You put the names first, you go through list. I usually have the sponsees stop at 25 to 30. After a while, they're all the same. And then you write why you were angry. Try to keep it to short and concise like the example in the book. And then the third column, which is misunderstood but really changed the way I thought, saw myself, was why was I angry? The third column is what was threatened. I didn't realize that I would never get angry unless I was threatened in some way and had fear. And what am I threatened about? Either it's my self-esteem, what I feel about myself, my pride. And because alcoholic pride is an excessive opinion of yourself. And self-esteem is how we have self-respect and how it's dependent on other people. Is it your pocketbook, your ambitions, or your relationships? And that's bottom of 64 and the top of 65. And it says, we were burned up. And then it says in our grudge list, we put down our injuries. And again, they go self-esteem, security, ambitions, personal sex relations would have been interfered with. And then I wrote, don't mess with me. That was how my life was. And so I was constantly being threatened. Now, why was I being threatened? Well, because I was running the world. And if I'm running the world, the three instincts of life, self, sexual, material, and social, constantly being threatened. My pride was constantly, my self-esteem, my material ambitions, my sex instincts, my ambitions for how I wanted to be seen, prestige, always threatened. And then I would get angry at whatever threatened it. I didn't know that. I just thought they were bad and they were wrong, and then I would get angry. But I wouldn't have been threatened unless I was running the show. Now, if God's running my life and I'm following his directions, I don't have to be threatened at all. And so anger then becomes a choice. And I don't have to be angry and I don't have to be resentful. Now, they have three brilliant examples here on page 65. I'll just cover Mr. Brown very quickly because it's funny and it's good. He hates Mr. Brown. So you're at a meeting, a discussion meeting, tomorrow at noon, and somebody tells you about Mr. Brown. And he pays attention to my wife. He told my wife of my mistress, and he may get my job at the office. Now, this guy deserves to be executed, doesn't he? I mean, let's face it. Mr. Brown has lost the right to live. And everybody will jump right in, oh, Mr. Brown's so terrible. But here's the deal. What was affected? His sex relations, his self-esteem, his pride, his pocketbook. And really, what's the deal? The deal is that he's drunk all the time. He's not paying any attention to his wife. And he doesn't even know if Mr. Brown is paying attention, but he thinks he is, because he's never home. And he's with his mistress. And he's mad at Mr. Brad for paying attention to his wife and telling his wife of his mistress, and he's committing adultery. And then Mr. Brown may get his job at the office, but he's never at work because he's drunk all the time. So you see how the resentment, it seems true, but it's really not real. And then we, they talk about, you go through your life with thoroughness and honesty, and you do the first three columns, and then they talk on page 66 about how resentment is a killer. It's killing me. If I'm angry, my life is futile and unhappy. Anybody have that? Now, how does resentment make your life futile and happy? You're sitting in your basement, hating someone, planning their execution, and they're at their house watching Big Bang. You see how it works? You're killing yourself with your anger. And you wasted your life. I don't know about you, but I wasted so much time in my life being angry, and it was all in fear. Fear and anger, that's how I lived. And you can't have a useful life in service to others if you're angry and if you're afraid. It says on 66, the price extent that I permit these, I permitted the resentment. Did anybody tell you in the morning, call you up and say, you need to have a resentment now? It's time. Let's get ready. But like Joe and Charlie make the point, we have a resentment machine that we are given with when we become an alcoholic. And it's this camera, and it's a replay machine. And we have the camera throughout the day watching to see who's threatening me. And as they do, we click the camera on, we capture that moment. And then what we do is we spend the whole day replaying that while the day's going on. And we've wasted the whole day. And the other thing that happens to me, and Joe and Charlie make this point, is as we replay it, they get worse. We justify our anger. They get even worse the more we play the machine. Now, is that any way to live? But we that's the way we are when we're self-centered. And it says that if I want to maintain and grow a spiritual experience, anybody want that? It says here in 66 that the business of resentment is infinitely grave. Now, if you're new, that's not good. Infinitely grave is bad. Now, if you don't know what that means, the next line says it's fatal. They're threatening your life here. Now, why do you die from resentment? Well, you die spiritually because you're full of irritable, restless, and discontented. You don't have any peace of mind, and you're dead spiritually, but then you drink over it, and then you can die physically. And it says, when I harbor such feelings, on page 66, I harbored my resentments. I didn't realize that. I put them in a safe place in my brain so they wouldn't be damaged. A harbor is a safe place that we put boats in. We harbored my resentments. I didn't want anybody to get into my resentments. That's why I find now when I see somebody who's angry and resentment, I don't try to deal with them. They've put that resentment in a safe place. And until they're ready to look at that and be rid of it, there's no point in trying to talk to them. And it says, when I harbor these feelings, I shut myself off from the sunlight of the Spirit. I'm shut off from God. I'm in the darkness. The book talks a lot about living in the light and not in the darkness. Remember, this book was scriptural from the New Testament. That's all the New Testament about walking in the light, not walking in the darkness. And walking in the light, for those who don't like the scriptures, it's just being in the relationship with God, in God's world, and not in the darkness separated. And it says the insanity of alcohol returns because I'm shut off from God. Now, why does the insanity of alcohol return? Because I have no power over alcohol. Because God can't run my life if it's full of anger. Most people who drink again drink because they're angry. And they're angry because they're running the world. And they don't like the way the world's treating them and the way people are being, right? And then they get full of fear. And then they want to escape, and they want the solution, which is alcohol. Because their mind tells you, you don't like this. Things aren't going well, Michael. You need a drink. Did anybody go to the liquor store and say, hi, I'm self-centered. I've been running my life. I've made a mess of it. I'm full of anger and fear. I have shame and guilt. I've been in conflict with everybody and everybody. Give me a bottle. But that's what the deal is. I mean, we don't see it. We don't see it. But now in the fourth step, we're trying to see it. We're trying to see the relationship between our anger and our inability to control and stop the obsession to drink. It says if the drink is to die. So then I covered this, and since we're only doing a paragraph, I want to go through this again. These are 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs that have changed my life. I've never really heard them ever discussed at a meeting, discussion meeting, but it's how to be free of anger. Anybody want to be free of anger? It's right in the book. You can go to treatment, you can do all the workbooks, therapy. Here's 4 paragraphs. I guarantee if you do this, you will be free of anger. It says, if we're to live, we had to be free of anger. Now, it doesn't mean you can't get angry. We had the pounding at the table about 10 years ago. Somebody said, I do not get angry, pounded the table, and left the meeting. It was a memory. You're allowed to get the emotion of anger, but you don't have to stay in it. That's the point. Anger is a choice. And we don't have to do that. I have that book by Dr. Paul who wrote Acceptance is the Answer. He says, the title is, You Can't Make Me Angry. If you're in fit spiritual condition, person cannot make you angry. If you're with God, you're practicing love and tolerance, you won't get angry. Now, you might be bothered by him, but you don't have to stay there. And you don't have to be in bondage to your anger. It says, Grouch and the Brainstorm were not for us. Brainstorm is not good. It means rage when they wrote the book. It may be the dubious luxury of normal men. It may not even be good for them, but for me, it's poison. Now, how can resentment and anger be poison? Because I'm drinking poison hoping you'll die. You see that picture? I had to think about that when I heard it the first time. But we're taking the poison and we're dying. And it's all about us and how we're allowing this to happen. And it's poison because it separates me from God. It's infinitely grave. It's fatal. And when I harbor these feelings, I'm blocked from God and then I drink again. There's a direct relationship between your anger and your inability to stay sober. It says, we turn back to the list. This is the first three columns. And it holds the key to your future. So if you believe in the program of AA, if you believe in this book, the key to your future is if you've done the first three columns. If you haven't done it, then you don't have a key to your future. And you're going to look at these three columns from a different angle. Now, you've written down like Mr. Brown and what he did and what's threatened. And you're focusing on that. But you're going to look at it from a different angle. Because that angle hasn't worked, right? That angle has kept you spiritually sick, right? So we better try a different angle. It says, we began to see that the world and its people dominated me. The world dominated me, and people dominated me, and I allowed it. Because I let them control me through my anger. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, it may not even be true. Most of the things that you write down that you're angry at the person about aren't even really true. Have the power to kill. Everybody believe that? How can we escape? Here it is, right here. How can you escape? Does anybody want to escape from this? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? And the resentments were mastering me. They were controlling me. I didn't see that. When you're angry at somebody and you have a resentment, they're controlling you. They're your higher power. It says, I could not wish them away any more than alcohol. And this was their course. This is what they did. And if you want to be free from anger, try what they're going to write in the next three paragraphs, the next two paragraphs, and see if it works. We realize that the people that we've had on the list who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. What I like to say, and I have my sponsees write out, is remember that all people are to some extent spiritually ill. They're all children of God. We all have good and bad qualities, and we all have our personalities. They're perhaps spiritually sick, though I do not like the symptoms, what they did, and they disturbed me. They, like ourselves, were sick too. I was sick too. I made a lot of resentment lists. I may be making one tonight. Who knows? If I'm on your list, forgive me. Get over it. We don't like their symptoms the way they disturbed us. They, like ourselves, were sick too. So you're looking at it differently. Instead of focusing on how bad they were and what they did, you're seeing that they're just human beings. They are who they are. And it doesn't mean you like what they did, but you see them as people. They have their self-centered personality just like we do. So the first prayer is you ask God, you say, God, help me show whoever it is the same tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. If you do that, you're going to change your attitude. You're asking God to change the way you see this person. Tolerance, pity. It doesn't say you have to like them. You don't have to marry them. You don't have to excuse them. But you can be tolerant, have pity and patience for them. Then you say, when a person offended, the next prayer you say is, so-and-so is a sick person. How can I be helpful to him? So you're going from being angry to them to how you can be of service to them. And when you see it that way, they're losing their power over you. How you can be helpful. You can't be loving, patient, and tolerant to someone and be angry at them. And then here's the key deal. God save me from being angry. Now, a lot of people pray for the people they're angry at. I'm not even going to comment whether that's good or bad. It's none of my business. But the big book, what works for me is I say, God save me from being angry at them, because I'm the one who's in bondage to the anger. And this is now about us and not about them or what they did. I don't want to be angry. Save me from the anger. Thy will be done. It says we avoid retaliation or argument. So those are the three prayers. We don't want to retaliate or argue because then we still have negative feelings towards them. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy my chance of being helpful. Now, what's our purpose in AA? It says we're trying to put our lives in order. On page 77, we're putting my life in order with God, with my thinking and with the world. 1 through 3 with God, 4, 5, 6, and 7 with my mind, with my thinking, and 8 and 9 with the world and people through amends. But then it says our real purpose is to fit ourselves maximally to be of service to God and others. And I can't be fit to serve God maximally and others when I'm angry and afraid. I'm of no use to them or myself. And it says we cannot be helpful to all people, can't be helpful to all people. A lot of people don't want our help. But I ask God, and here's the fourth prayer, God, show me how to take a kind and tolerant view of each and every one. Now, if I do the first three columns and I say the prayers, if I haven't changed the way I see them, I keep doing it. Just do these 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, you can't do the fourth column yet because it's not in the instructions. You don't look at quote your part yet. You do the first three columns, you say the prayers, you change the way you see the person. Because you can't see your mistakes till you've looked at them differently. And I tell you, this works. It absolutely works if you do it. Now, what I've learned is that when I am bothered or by somebody, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to have to do the three columns. I don't want to have to say the four prayers. I say, God, change the way I see them. Save me from being angry. They're just a person. They are who they are. Let's move on, Michael. And it takes about 25 seconds. Now, to be honest, I don't always do it right away. You know, sometimes you have to let these resentments fester a little bit. But I really try to do it. Well, because you don't want to have to go through all this. You just know you're wrong. There's no reason to be angry. They are who they are. They're all spiritually sick. God, how can I be loving, patient, tolerant? How can I be helpful? God, save me from being angry and give me a kind and tolerant view. And I guarantee if you do that, you will change the way you see whoever bothers you tomorrow. So you're going to use this for the rest of your life. That's why it's the key to your future. Because if resentment's fatal, then you have to know how to treat them quickly. Because remember, in step 10, you watch for this all day long. And when they come up, what do? You ask God at once to remove them. You discuss it with someone else. You make a decision to change. You discuss it. You watch. You ask. You discuss. You make amends, and then you turn your thoughts to those you can help resolutely. Then at night, we covered this last Saturday. You inventory at night. Where were you resentful? Were you kind and loving to all? How were you packing in the stream of life? You see. It's key, and then you ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures. You have to be on top of this, but you can't do it alone. You have to do it with God. You have to go to God whenever you're disturbed, say the prayers, and you'll change. Now we're going to just cover this last paragraph and then we're done with step four. I hope the review was helpful. It says, referring to our list again. So you've done the three columns, you said all the prayers. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done. It doesn't matter what they did anymore. You're going to put out of the mind, it doesn't, this is not about excusing behavior. It's about forgiving and changing the way you see them. And you're putting out of the mind the wrongs others had done. I resolutely is a key word, look for my own mistakes. It doesn't say my part. It's my mistakes. In fact, if you really think about it, they have no part in this. They're just human beings. They're spiritually ill. We just said the prayers. It's my mistakes. What did I do? And you look down for each resentment. And you can see, like, for Mr. Brown, his resentment, well, he had an affair. He's drunk. He's not in the office. He's paying no attention to his wife. So I list the fourth column I do is what were my mistakes. I write out exactly what I did. And if I get angry today, I look, what are my mistakes? What did I do to cause this? Did I say something? Did I act? Did I make some decision based on self? What's the truth? And you can do it pretty quickly once you've done a lot of four steps. The one mistake I always make is I'm inconsiderate. If I'm angry, I'm always inconsiderate. I'm not seeing them as people that practice love and tolerance. I'm inconsiderate. And then it says, where had I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or frightened? And these are we're looking at the exact nature of our wrongs, our character defects. And I gave some people the card. Patty didn't copy anymore. I'll get some more next time. We have the left and right-hand side. And the left-hand side is all my character defects. It's the personality of a self-centered person. It's not pretty. Resentment, hate, fear, intolerance, judgment. Self-seeking, frightened, dishonest. So you could say, where had I been selfish? That'll give you, were you selfish in the relationship? Did you make decisions based on self that caused the person to retaliate? Were you dishonest? Were you dishonest about your feelings or how you saw them? Were you honest about all that besides just lying and cheating and stealing? Were you seeking for self? Were you seeking for what you could get out of things rather than what you could give? And then the key is fear. Fear underlies all my resentments. Anybody I'm angry at, there's some fear behind it, self-centered fear. They threaten me in some way. And my self-esteem and pride is always threatened. I was an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. I was always being threatened. If I thought somebody didn't like me, I'd get angry. They didn't have to say anything. If I just thought, because you know I knew everything, they're mad at me, they don't like me, so you get angry at them. Anybody else ever do that? Am I the only one? And it says, though a situation, so you list them out. So the fourth column is your mistakes, your actions, and then to help you out, you list your character defects, because this is what you're going to use to do steps 6 and 7. You can't change the way you are until you understand what you need to give to God. And these are the things you're going to watch for all day when these character defects appear that you want to say, God, I'm being dishonest right now. Make me honest. God, I'm afraid. Give me courage. God, I'm intolerant. Give me tolerance. God, I'm being self-centered. How can I be loving? How can I be thinking of them? And it becomes almost automatic because remember it says, spiritual axiom, if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. What's wrong with me? I'm in self. These character defects are coming out. And if I don't change and get rid of them, then I will stay disturbed. So every time I'm disturbed or angry or afraid, it's all my fault. Sorry, that's the way it is. It says, though a situation had been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely because it's not about them. It's not their attitude. And that is a change in our attitude. We're looking at them differently. We're looking at me. Focusing on me, how I cause this, what I can change, because you can't change them. The program isn't about changing the people you're angry at. You can try that, you may get more angry. The program is about you changing the way you see other people. The inventory was, where were we to blame? The inventory is mine, not the other man's. We're not inventorying We're not inventorying other people. Because remember, this four-step inventory is me, of my mind, my thinking. Now, we start on the outside looking at what they did and who they are, and then we bring it back and it comes back to me, and it's me and my character defects. So my resentment tree is a tree where the leaves are all full of bad stuff. That's all my resentment. And the bark of the tree is my character defects, and the tree is planted in the wrong soil, self-centered. So I have to plant my tree whenever I'm angry in the God-centered soil. I have the characteristics of God, and the tree's beautiful. Now, if you want to have an ugly tree all day, that's your choice. But you don't have to. You could just replant your tree in the God soil, and the result would be different. And then when we saw our faults, we listed them, we placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly to who? To God, yourself, and another human being. And you're willing to set these matters straight, make amends. You've changed the way you see these people. And this is how you get the list of everyone you harmed. So you can do steps 8 and 9. You've got your character defects now for 6 and 7. You've seen the truth about all your anger. So I hope this review was helpful. This has changed my life. And I have to do it every day. It doesn't say, you might want to watch if you get a resentment today. It says, we watch for resentments when these crop up. And so the 10th step, you've done your 4 steps. So when you're living each day, you watch for when you're starting to get a little angry. You don't want it to become like a full wheat plant. When you see like the little bud, you want to snap it. You don't want to let the resentment grow. And then this is how you use the 4th step to live every day. So we'll stop there. Next week, we're going to start with fear. Thank you.